show that digs deeper than the rest. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
So they just passed a bill in the House, gosh, the anti-central bank digital currency bill. If you guys could just find a headline for that for me. We're actually going to have a guest coming on who's an expert in this. And he's going to talk about the central bank digital currencies and the Genius Act and this bill that just passed coming up here at 4:30. And this guest was actually recommended by General Flynn. I was speaking to General Flynn earlier, and he sent me this giant expose on the issue. And I said, well, are you doing interviews on this? He said, no, but I highly recommend this guy. So we got him on. So thank you, General Flynn, for that. And then Christian Briggs is going to be coming up in about 30 minutes. So we do have some developments today outside of the Epstein debacle. I think we're about to move on from that. A couple other stories here on my desk, but we got other news we're going to cover now. Folks, remember to support us by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com. And really the best bang for your buck right now when it comes to health supplements has to be the Power Drive Combo Pack right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And you get 50% off this combo pack when you subscribe. And by subscribing, that means you get auto ship and guaranteed in stock, plus the 50% off bonus. And, of course, supporting us in the process. The Power Drive Cellular Energy Bundle. These two products work synergistically together. Power Plant, Advanced Adaptogen, and Ultimate Methyl Drive activate your cellular energy. 50% off this power pack, Power Drive, when you subscribe at thealexjonesstore.com. Don't forget to try all of the other great products that are there, the health products. We also just released another limited edition dagger. If you are into collecting our collectible limited edition coins and knives, another one for your collectors, or if you just need a high-quality dagger for whatever purposes, maybe self-defense or something else. Limited edition battle dagger with the Alex Jones signature on it. Comes in a very beautiful custom box with Alex Jones signature on it. On sale right now, limited edition at thealexjonesstore.com. When you shop there, you support us. And also with every item purchased, you get multiple entries into our raffle, which right now we are raffling off a Ford F-250 Lariat truck. Big giant monster truck. A lot of fun. Big, beautiful baby blue truck. But the only way to win is by shopping at thealexjonesstore.com, and that is also the best way to support us. And so we thank you for that. All right, let's just do this before we hit this break and get back to the news. Dana White talking about the UFC America 250 event coming to the White House here in clip 9.
So I'm up at my house like every year in Maine at 4th of July. And I had texted with him 3 or 4 times that day, and he never told me he was announcing it. And then all of a sudden, my phone just starts blowing up. And then I start blowing Lene up, and we're all going. But we had already done, you know, all the logistics. My team went out there and walked it. We're putting together the renderings. They should be done in the next 10 days. And then we're going to fly out to the White House and present it to him, see what he likes and what he doesn't like, and start working on it. And Ivanka is in the middle of this too. So we will, this is a sphere, one of one unique event that will never happen again. And I will blow the doors off this thing. I'm going to make this one of the greatest events of all time.
And are you thinking a full card, like full prelims, full main card, or just like a couple fights?
Nope. It'll be a full card, and it will be the best card we've ever done to date.
Wow. And we're talking on the lawn of the White House?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as of right now.
Can we get Musk Zuckerberg?
It's set to be on the South Lawn. You know, he said we can move it over somewhere else for more people. I don't care if 5 people show up to this thing. I want to be on the lawn.
Hey, so that'll be fun. It'll be gladiatorial event there at the White House, the Bread and Circus. Like, yeah, you know, we can't get peace. And, you know, who knows if the economy will ever be better, or the trade deals will work, or if we can get mass deportations or become, you know, sovereign from foreign countries and influence again. But, hey, you know what? Hell with all that. We're going to have a big fight at the White House. Yeah, fight, fight, fight. Right?
Please remember that this broadcast is only as powerful as you make it. When you share the live feed from Real Alex Jones on X, on your email list or text message, on other platforms, word of mouth on X, it changes the world. When you share the feed from Infowars.com/show, it changes the world. So remember, Paul Revere's, you're not part of the solution. You are the solution. You're everything. When you share the live feed, when you share the clips of the show, when you send that out to everyone you know, that's the reach, the amplification. That is 99% of this operation. You are the whole shooting match. And the InfoWar is everything. And you are the mind, the bones, the guts, the blood, the will, the soul of the InfoWar. So release your will and power now. Destroy them.
This broadcast contains subject matter that may offend liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Remember when they tried to give us a lollipop yesterday? And told us, we'll put real sugar back in Coke. That'll calm the people down. Well, this has two ironic twists to it, actually. Trump says Coca-Cola has agreed to use real cane sugar at his request. Well, Coca-Cola came out. Coca-Cola defends corn syrup after Trump claims he struck cane sugar deal and says they aren't sure they're actually giving up the high fructose corn syrup for cane sugar yet. But we appreciate Trump's enthusiasm for our product. So was that even true? Just take this as a comedy bit, okay? Because it's just, you know what it is? It's not Mexican Coke that he's talking about. It's not the Mexican Coke. It's literally kosher Coke. I'm not kidding you. You can look it up. And if you're Jewish, you probably know what I'm talking about. Coke has a kosher product. They specifically market it during Jewish holidays like Passover. It has a yellow cap on it. So it wasn't even the Mexican Coke like people talk about with the real cane sugar in the glass. It was the kosher Coke product that gets rid of the products inside of it that people of Jewish faith can't drink on certain holidays. So, yeah, it was. I'm saying it's just comedy, guys. Is everything for the Jews? Even the Coke gambit? It's a joke. I mean, the story is true. Even the Coke was for the Jews. Hey, come on, man. Come on. Trump, we'd really like the Epstein files. Best I can do is Jewish Coke. It's best I can do. That's pretty good, guys, right? That's pretty good. Oh, man. That's funny. What type of Coke do you think Ivanka drinks? All right. That's fun. We didn't even finish up with the Netanyahu stuff. We want the kosher Coke. We want the kosher Coke. No, I want the Mexican Coke in the glass bottle. And then I want to call it American Coke. Just like we renamed the Gulf of America. You're going to get kosher. You've got Netanyahu out here bragging about how they're about to expand Israel into southern Syria. So just like people were talking about. So you got that going on. Very good. But where is his kosher Coke? I'm sorry. I can't let it go. It's too hilarious. Even the lollipop we got yesterday. All right, enough with the stop with the kosher coat, guys. Stop it. That'll be enough. At least put it in the glass. We want glass. Do you ever wonder what happened with glass? I guess plastic is more convenient. It's also way more toxic. Like, I saw these stories. They said, oh, we did studies, and it turns out glassware has more microplastics than plastic. Shut the hell up. Oh, yeah, the COVID vaccine is safe and effective, too. I mean, it's just like they just lie through these studies. So, oh, you're catching on to the microplastics. A bunch of different industries probably have self-interest in keeping the microplastic thing buried. So they then just say, no, 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 glass is actually worst. Where's that headline? They're bragging about kosher Coke year-round and tiny hats were flying in the air. Woohoo! Anyway. Whatever happened to glass products? Was it like a recycling issue? Because I actually admit, I get my raw milk in glass, but I can give that back to the farm, and then they just recycle and use the same glassware. But I get like my organic raw juice in glass too. So I've got like this whole stockpile. I've been meaning to take it to the recycling bin of just this glass that I get my raw juice in. But you can just recycle it. But why did we stop using glass? Was it like an industry issue? Was it like it was just cheaper to use it, more convenient? Maybe we need to re-examine that whole decision. Maybe we need to re-examine it. Or maybe we could find a way. If glass was kosher and plastic wasn't, that could be the solution. Maybe we could get Trump on it if that's the case. All right. Speaking of Netanyahu and Mossad's blackmail operation that also doesn't exist. And obviously, folks, Judge Napolitano is one of the most respected names out there. One of the most respected, credible names in right-wing media for decades. He does his show on YouTube now. One of the best interviewers and just sources for information you're not going to see in the mainstream. And so, you know, again, like I say, I mean, I've got sources. I'm not claiming to have the biggest sources, but I know good sources and I know people that feed me good information. Judge Napolitano's sources are probably way better than mine. So it sounds like he's getting a lot of the same intel here when he said this about the ongoing Epstein drama in clip 14.
I think Trump's name is on the list. I think Mossad knows it. I think Mossad told their American stenographer, who happens to be the director of the CIA, who takes down and regurgitates everything Mossad told him. And I think that stenographer whispered it into the president's ear. And he's terrified that this will come out because he knows it will be the beginning of the end, whether there's a Republican Congress or a Democrat Congress. That's what I honestly believe has happened. Now, obviously, I haven't seen the files.
So at this point, it feels inevitable. Now, again, Trump's name being on a list is, it could mean anything. I don't think Trump was doing anything illegal. I don't think Trump was doing financial crimes or crimes with minors. Trump, it's known he's flown on the jet. It's obviously well documented that he used to hang out with Epstein and party with him. So what does it mean that his name is on the list? I don't know. If it turns out Epstein was, you know, hooking him up with some 20-year-old hotties at his clubs, is that illegal? Because this is how these operations work. And Trump probably got wise to it, and that's eventually why he kicked Epstein out and cooperated with the FBI. But this is how these things operate. And again, it looks like Epstein was just probably the pimp, and he was probably blackmailed himself. And Maxwell was really the Mossad agent. So, yeah, Epstein might have been an asset kind of running this operation. And it's like, hey, give him the island and he can have the New Mexico place where we're doing the clone crap. And then we can have him in New York, where he's next door neighbors with some other powerful people that are in the Trump administration. So it's like you kind of just give Epstein all the money and everything and the jet, and then he's just kind of is the guy running it, but he's not really the agent. He's just like the fall guy. He's just like the prop guy. But, you know, he gets access to the nasty stuff that he's into, and then protected by intelligence agencies and protected by governments. But that's what they do. They lure you in. It's like, oh, hey, oh, yeah. Oh, you like this girl over here? It's like, yeah, she's beautiful. She's single? She sure is. Oh, well, how old is she? I think she's 23, just out of college. I'm like, really? Like, yeah, would you like to meet her? She's right over here. Yeah, come over here, sweetheart. Yeah, hey. Oh, nice to meet you. Yeah, very nice. Hey, you should come down to my club. Oh, sure. Yeah, we'll hop on the jet next week. Yeah, we'll be down. Oh, fantastic. Okay, all right. Now you got a little 23-year-old on your arm. Now, oh, next thing you know, maybe she's 19. Next thing you know, you think she's 19, she's actually 16. Now what do you got? Now, I'm not saying that's what Trump was doing. I think Trump was into beautiful women. And you know, Epstein obviously tried to get into these circles of powerful, rich people. That was his job. That was Maxwell and Epstein's job, was to infiltrate these powerful, rich, influential circles. Oh, yeah, here's my 23-year-old friend. Sure, she'll fly out on your private jet. Absolutely. And then she's 19, and then she's 16. And then the next thing you know, you're at the island with Moloch over your head doing God knows what. So I think Trump drew the line at, you know, 20-year-old hot blondes, figured out what Epstein was doing, and said, get the F out of here. And when the feds come a-calling, I'm going to cooperate. And that's what all the other witnesses and everything say, too. So who is Trump protecting? What is he concerned about? Why this giant communications disaster? I suppose there's still the mystery element. You know, I got to say this, though. I don't really care to play the clip, but I did send it to the crew, just the quintupling down yesterday with Trump at the White House here in clip 10. But let me just, can I just say this real quick? I got to give it to Trump here. I mean, this has to be the best decor. I mean, this guy's got taste. I mean, can we put this on the screen here? I mean, come on. That is just, I don't know who's doing his interior design and matching it with his attire. But I think we can all say that is about as good as it gets. And actually, there's an even better shot, if the crew can even find it. There's a shot where if you zoom out and then they've got the presidential portraits above them in the gold frames. And they've got the tables with the eagles holding them up. And now they have the new gold chairs and couch and rug. So, I mean, he's definitely marketing this golden age. Is he going to deliver on it is another story. But, man, who's ever doing the interior design there at the Oval Office, and if it's at Trump's behest, I tip my cap. You guys nailed it. You guys nailed it. It's got to be influenced by Trump. The guy loves gold. His whole penthouse is gold. You want to hear a funny one? Oh. So, I guess it was like 2 or 3 months ago, you had the president of FIFA at the White House. And they're spotlighting that trophy that was sitting at the White House. I think it's still there. And so I guess they made two. And then there was some key exchange. There was some key exchange where Trump like had a key. And so there's a new conspiracy theory. This stuff is so wild. I can't help it. I just go down these rabbit holes, folks. I don't even know where I end up half the time. And then you get there, you're like, what the hell? Where am I? You may have heard of the book by Ingersoll Lockwood about Baron Trump's magical adventures and Donald Trump, the king, and everything else. And there's old illustrations, and it's a blonde old king, looks like Trump. And it's Baron Trump, who's apparently a giant. And it's all this other stuff. And people think it's all time traveling stuff, and they connect this book written in like the 1920s or something. It's like 100-year-old book, and it has all these crazy connections to Donald Trump and Barron Trump, which it's like, yeah, you got to admit, the odds of that are crazy. So the new conspiracy theory, I bet you could probably find some stories on this. The new conspiracy theory, this is how whacked out it is. This is the crazy, bizarro world that we're in now. Because how are you going to, you can't make any other sense of it. As things just continue to get worse, yeah, they've already found it. The FIFA trophy is actually a time machine. So this confirms the Ingersoll Lockwood time-traveling Donald Trump. And then they say, see, it's the time machine from Ingersoll Lockwood's illustrations. It's the time machine from the movies like Contact and Terminator. And then there was another movie with, I think it was actually called Time Machine. What was the guy's name from Memento? You remember that actor's name from Memento? He was in a time travel movie. Same thing. He makes a time machine. It's the same thing. So now it's, and then he has this key. And the guy's like, oh, yeah, that's your key to the time machine. Well, maybe. Yeah, Guy Pearce. I think it's called Time Machine. And so I guess the president of FIFA is an alien, and he's given Trump the time traveling technology, and then he has the key to turn it on. Because how else are you going to make sense of any of it, right? I mean, you just, none of it makes any sense. So let's go with the alien who runs FIFA with the alien that runs the NBA, and they're giving Trump the time travel technology because, you know, he's saving the earth from the pedophile demons. And that's the only hope you got. Folks, that's the only hope you got now, because they're covering up the Epstein list. So no, the cover up is actually an intentional Streisand effect, and it's all part of a time traveling QAnon phenomenon. That's the only thing you got left. So I can't wait, folks. Are you ready to travel through time? I thought it would be like a phone booth or like a portal. Turns out it's just like a circular, like a gyro sphere. Should have known. The time machine was right in front of us the whole time. But look, that's Melania and Trump on the cover with the time machine and young Barron Trump. So it's all okay. Trump is a time traveler. The aliens have given him the technology. So everybody just go back to sleep. Wow, that must be a remake. So I guess the Guy Pearce one was a remake, because that's the exact same time traveling machine, but with a different actor. So they did a remake of it. So there it is. It's okay, guys. Everybody relax. Trump's a time traveler saving us all. Everything's great. Everything is great. Only a time traveler could have such good taste. You know? Only a time traveler could have such strong taste. You know, there's some drama in the South Park world right now where they're having like some contract production disputes. But you know what is really needed? A South Park episode on the Epstein list. Might be the only thing that can save us now. But they're in a creative production contract debacle right now. So I don't know what is going to happen with that, with the great creators of South Park, one of the greatest shows of all time. All right, now. Oh, yeah. All right, let's look at some of this other news here. Gavin Newsom needs to be investigated for this. Speed rail. I don't know what else you can call it. It looks like blatant theft. Sean Duffy, travel secretary. Governor Gavin Newsom and California's high-speed rail boondoggle are the definition of government incompetence and possibly corruption. The price tag has gone from $33 billion to $135 billion with no completion date in sight. We gave every single L.A. and San Francisco resident almost 200 free flights for that much. That's why today we're pulling the plug on federal funding for this train to nowhere. They haven't even laid a single track. And then also, he did a Google search auto finish. Why has the California High-Speed Rail Project top auto completions cost taxpayers $15 billion? Not had a single track laid in 16 years. Experienced a $7 billion funding gap. Been a disaster during Newsom's tenure. Where did the money go? You want to do a show of force raid to help your approval rating? Go raid Gavin Newsom's office and figure out where the billions went. Here's the video they put out to go along with the story.
The project is estimated to cost $68 billion.
A new report shows California's high-speed rail project is costing taxpayers more than $3 million a day. The LA Times reports the budget has grown to $77 billion.
The cost for the project, though, has jumped to nearly $128 billion, much higher than the $33 billion voters approved in 2008.
The project is no longer a $33 billion project. The project's years and years behind. The project's wildly over budget. That doesn't mean it's a bad idea. But it is a bad idea not to be truthful about things.
Gavin Newsom is a bad idea. And so is California's high-speed rail boondoggle. It's now projected to cost $135 billion. For that price tag, we could give every single resident of LA and San Francisco almost 200 free flights. This is the definition of government incompetence and possibly corruption. That's why we're pulling the plug. No more federal funds for this high-speed train to nowhere. President Trump and I won't help Gavin Newsom waste your money.
Yeah, well, how about no more federal funds for California, period? I mean, let's get serious. Now, it's not all bad. It's not all bad from Gavin Newsom. He doesn't just steal federal funds. He's also willing to help a neighbor when a neighbor is in need. And so Gavin noticed that he had a neighbor of his who had a flat tire on his motorcycle. And so Gavin decided he would volunteer and bring out his air pump and help out his friend with a flat tire, guys. And luckily, the cameras were there to catch this heroic act from Gavin Newsom. And so it's not all bad. Newsom also gives back. Newsom is also willing to help out a neighbor in need. So guys, let's go ahead and see clip 17 here. Gavin Newsom helping his friend inflate his tire. So see, it's not all bad with Gavin. Gavin can help a friend in need. And he's really good at inflating tires. I mean, he's really got that motion down. You got to give it to him. You got to give it to him for that. So, yeah, maybe they stole a couple $1 billion on a fake high-speed rail project. But at least he's there to pump your tire when it's flat and really put in an effort. They talk about elbow grease, but with Gavin Newsom, it's a totally different kind of grease. Whatever's left over from his hair, he puts down by his derriere and just goes to work. And so let's just give Gavin Newsom the good press when it's deserved. And he will help you inflate your tire and more if you need it in the future. So it's not all bad with Gavin. And if he does run for president, we'll make sure that he gets credit for inflating his neighbor's tire. Great job, Gavin. Well done.
Fox News alert, the Ayatollah's gone into hiding. He's believed to be holed up inside an underground bunker northeast of the Capitol. Iranian proxies, which have been severely degraded, are threatening to commit acts of terror against American troops and American ships in the region.
And sources are telling ABC News that President Trump has approved the attack plans for Iran that were presented to him.
And American businesses are now bracing for cyber attacks. The whole world's watching.
In light of that news, I have a message directly from the president, and I quote, "Based on the fact that there's a substantial chance of negotiations that may or may not take place with Iran in the near future, I will make my decision whether or not to go within the next 2 weeks." That's a quote directly from the president for all of you today.
What's your take on that? Because people say, well, that's just the press secretary. No, that's Trump talking. Now it looks like he's given himself more breathing room 2 weeks when we were coming down to the deadline, and the last deadline passed, obviously, and within 24 hours, Israel struck.
Trump is speaking through her, right? Those are his words. And he's waiting, because you put U.S. bombers over there with bunker buster bombs, it embroils America into something that could last a decade. Like, he knows the implications of this, and you don't want to overreact. You don't want to actually do something that might not need to be done if you can avoid it with some kind of negotiations, which Trump is the master negotiator, right? So you've got Iran, you've got Trump, and you've got Netanyahu, right? So two of those are really going at it. What Trump is saying, I believe, in that message is, I don't want to embroil America in a war for the next decade plus.
And that's what he's been saying the last 48 hours, or really 24, is, I only want to do this if it doesn't turn into a long war. Now he's learning it will. And so sanity is prevailing, hopefully. And wow, that's so important. We're out of time, Dr. Elliott. People need to call and get a free consultation, or go sign on the email. You guys are the best. You have the best prices, selling it at wholesale. That's why you're top rated. Most other places are a scam. It's just true. Gold and silver is great, but not the way people sell numismatics and collectibles. It's a scam, folks. It goes from bad to worse. You're the place to go to. You can also roll over financial instruments. It's so easy, but people need to go to kepm.com/gold, 720-605-3900. And folks really need to take action now.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. Not all. Dealers are created equal. Not our brokers are created equal. When our biggest thing that we do for people is, I believe it's your money. This is why we charge zero when you liquidate. Zero. I want you to get everything that you invested in. Gold and silver do really well in these times of things. You can move over your IRA, your old 401ks, cash assets to get out of harm's way, get out of the path of this hurricane to safe ground. Don't overpay for your stuff. I'm telling you, do not overpay for your stuff when you don't need to. Always buy bullion and do it with somebody who doesn't charge you when you liquidate.
Oh, I forgot that part. You're the only big company that does that. That is massive. No charge on liquidation. Massive. And again, ladies and gentlemen, you can look at the wholesale price every day of silver and gold. When you buy it, you know. These other places, I'm sorry, there's 90% of them go from scams to absolutely criminal, in my view. That's why we don't have gold sponsors and stuff, because there's so few that are good. Plus, I got out of it 14 years ago, right at the top, told everybody, nope, now's not the time. And then 2 years ago was the time. We've been proven right, only exploded. The best investment there is. All I'm going to do is steer you right, folks, because I treat you like I want to be treated on the supplements, on the products, on the sponsors, only the best. And that's Kirk Elliott, Precious Metals, KEPM.com/gold, 720-605-3900. Call now for your free consultation.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Where the hidden agendas are laid bare. Welcome to the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Christian Briggs to talk about the Genius Act, central bank digital currencies, and then some action that was happening at the Hill today. And then this just broke moments ago. House passes crypto market structure bill after GOP revolt. The House passed legislation today laying out regulatory rules for the crypto industry after GOP leadership managed to stem a revolt from competing factions in the conference that brought the floor to a standstill and left the crypto legislation in limbo. The Digital Asset Market Clarity Act cleared the House 294 to 134, with 78 House Democrats joining the Republicans to support it. After hours of negotiations and the longest House vote on record, it was 9 hours they broke the record. I guess it went over that now. Leadership agreed to add the anti-CBDC provisions to the National Defense Authorization Act, giving it a better chance of reaching Trump's desk. Now, I was talking to General Flynn earlier about this, and I asked him if he was doing interviews, and he said, no, but you should get Christian on. He's an expert on this. Shared with me Christian's contact, got in touch with him, and now he joins me on the show. So As we were discussing earlier, Christian, you know, I'm really just going to be asking you the questions and having you get into your perspective on all of this. So I suppose we'll start here. You know, the issues of central bank digital currency, I think, are pretty well understood by this audience. But is it well understood by Congress? Does Congress understand the real issues that we face? And is that why this was a record long voting process?
Well, yeah. Well, thanks for having me on the show. So, yeah, they recognize everything that they're currently doing in such a manner that they knew that if they had not put this legislation through, that on the world stage of crypto, especially within the stablecoin, which I want to try to make sure everyone understands, stablecoin is basically just another version of an algorithm or a tokenization of a asset that you use to buy and sell with. What was interesting about the way the whole crypto thing and the reason why it took 9 hours or 10 hours and all that kind of stuff was, there was absolutely a definitive need to clarify better understanding of the regulation. So the reason it took so long is the House determined that the Genius Act was a good bill, but it needed a little more language, and they could not go back to the Senate and get the Democrats to vote for it. So they determined that the language had to be put into the anti-CBDC bill. And then they also put some additional clarification in the Clarity Act that would prevent the CBDC from happening, because the Genius Act was a good bill written by good people. But there might have been some nefarious people sometime in the future, like another administration, that could tweak it and then launch a centralized programmable money, basically, where they could determine if you want to buy or if you can buy or sell anything, travel or whatever. So that's what happened in the last, let's say, last 3 days.
Well, I'm going to try to connect that to this question, but this is more of an open-ended question, I think, for general understanding. And I'm not really a big crypto guy. I kind of have an outside understanding of it. I talk to a lot of people in the crypto community. You know, my best interpretation from a layman standpoint is we're trying to have a unique independent asset that we can trade with, use as a currency, and really, you know, ultimately escape from the fiat currency, escape from the central currency. So I'm looking at all of this debate and I'm thinking, doesn't this whole process kind of destroy the purpose here? It's like if we go to the beach and we just decide, all right, we're going to start trading in seashells. So we all go to the beach and start gathering up and we've all got these seashells and we're going to start trading in seashells. Well, then here comes the government and says, oh, this is great. We're going to regulate and write legislation and get involved in your seashell trade practice. And you'd be saying, no, this has nothing to do with you. We don't want your regulation. We don't want anything to do with it. So why is the government even involved with this? What is the purpose of this?
Well, okay. Those are some great questions. And there are actually multiple answers within that one topic or that one thing that you're asking. Why are we getting involved in this is a plethora of answers. But let me start at the beginning first. And then I'm going to make sure that I tie it all into the question that you just asked me. This all started in 2018 during Trump's first administration. Well, he was being distracted with baloney hoaxes of Russian collusion and impeachment processes. The Federal Reserve was secretly working on a project called the Hamilton Project from the New York and the Boston Fed buildings. What I had found out and brought to the attention of certain and select members of the Congress in the United States Senate and in the House was that the Federal Reserve was working behind the scenes and usurping Congress's ultimate authority to issue new money, which is currency, even in digital form. They must get the approval of legislative body of Congress, Senate, and of course, and the House in order to send or to provide new forms of money. Well, the Federal Reserve took it upon themselves to redefine money instead of saying retail, being, you know, you and I would use it. They did commercial central bank digital currency building. And so when I found out about it, I brought it to the attention of members of Congress, and they were not aware of this. And once they started doing their investigation, they figured out, holy cow, this is really happening. And it's happening under a clandestine operation called the Hamilton Project was the first. They were also working in cahoots with the Bank of International Settlements early as 2016, about the same time that Obama was getting out and Trump was getting in. And then they accelerated it during Trump's first term, fearing that they might have to get this delivered and deployed sometime if he was to win a second term. That's why they were so nefarious in their actions to try to get Trump in a position where he would not be able to get in a second term, which we now know that 2020 cheated on the election. So with that said, let's fast forward. So during the Biden administration, Joe Biden signed an executive order. God knows he probably didn't use the real pen, but an auto pen. And he expanded, accelerated, and made sure that the central bank digital currency was being implemented or certainly being built in order to be deployed sometime either at the end of his first term or into his second term at the time before Kamala was determined to be the candidate. Now, the reason we're doing this is one reason. When you go back and you actually can look at the Affordable Care Act, listen to this. This is where it all started. It started when Obama took office in 2009, when Bitcoin became something of a novelty, and then it kind of mushroomed into where it's at. Obama wanted two things, two structural changes in the way of which the United States would go from a republic to a democracy, because it's a republic. It's a constitutional run by laws, not democracy run by what I consider to be majority of emotions. He wanted two things to happen. One, he wanted Bitcoin to be the precursor to the central bank digital currency. In order to do that, he had to get it out and get people conditioned to use it and then program them as an everyday piece of your life. It's called consumption and then adoption. So you consume it so much that you adopt it as everyday. So Bitcoin was not started by somebody in an apartment in Newport Beach, like some people think. It was started by multiple different agencies that collaborated together in order to condition people to start thinking digital. Second thing he did, which was brilliant, is, and again, this would have turned money into a communist, and I'm going to quote Senator Bill Hagerty, Tim Scott, Congressman Warren Davidson, we would have been pure communism had this central bank digital currency been issued. The second thing he did to try to, again, socialize, communize, and some people will argue back and forth, but I'm not sure what the difference is much anymore. He wanted to socialize, communize medicine and healthcare. So that's where the Affordable Care Act came. So he initiated two things that he thought would bring America's down to its knees and be more in line and consistent with the rest of the world. Well, all of this continued to happen, and then it formulated into what we consider today to be the revolution of digital transactions. And the reason why that Bitcoin took off so much was once people realized that we were going to lose our cash transactions capabilities, checks and cash. It was a certainty, just not sure what the time was. Bitcoin became the go-to alternative form of transactionable assets. And now here we are today. And the difference between a Bitcoin or any kind of a cryptocurrency, which is completely different than a CBDC, is real simple. And I'm explaining it so everybody can get this. Bitcoin trades on what they call a decentralized ledger or decentralized platform. Decentralized means that it can work with anonymity. It can go anywhere. And short of something nefarious in a wallet or something that would be bad, it pretty much runs its own ways of which the users at the end, from where the buyer or the seller or the person that's holding it, determines where they want it to go. Centralized systems are centralizing it in a what they call like a closed loop environment. That closed loop environment allows somebody at the very top to pull a lever where a decentral is open source, consider it to be, can go anywhere, anytime. The owner of that asset, the Bitcoin, or if it's Cardano, or if it's XRP, whatever it may be that you trade in, those are decentralized systems. And you can push those anywhere you want. However, when you get into centralized system, that's programmable money. That means somebody at the very top centralizing the power, centralizing the money in an environment that they can determine that you're not going to spend that money. So now fast forward. Here we are today. About 60% of all transactions are now what? Digital. We have been programmed to accept an algorithm as value in exchange for something of value, whether you're buying gold, a car, or you're just buying something simple at Walmart. The reason why it was a rush to market was simple. The world is changing to digital format, whether it's hybrid, central, decentral, full central, but there's very few decentral systems that are going to be running in governments, because governments can't control a full decentralized system that runs with anonymity, okay? It runs with freedom. So in Europe, come October, it's expected that they're going to launch a central bank digital currency, a CBDC, And if you go online, there's clear evidence. Not only have they built this thing, but they're ready to deploy it because it's been in beta since April. And the Bank of International Settlements, which is the bank of banks, I'm sure many of your users or listeners have gone online and probably at some point listened to various people and yourself. I know Alex and everybody and Owen, you have talked about this. We are working within an environment where about 60% of the world is going to centralize their monetary systems. We need to be ahead of that curve. And so applauding Tim Scott, Senator Hagerty, to be able to get this through. Now, in saying that, the Genius Act was a well-written bill. It had a couple things that needed to be clarified. And what they did was they clarified some additional language to prevent a central bank centralized coin or centralized digital currency to be deployed at any time in the future. Because people need to know, as good as Trump is, he's not going to be around forever. He can't be around another 20 years or 30 years as president. So the thought was in the Clarity Act, as well as the Anti-CBDC Act, which was pretty much the House Financial Services Committee, Warren Davidson and his colleagues were in charge of making sure that the language was put into those two bills that was appropriate to prevent somebody in the future, an administration, let's just say for what it is, that would then be able to turn the tables, almost like switching a lever, okay, pulling a lever, switching a switch, and turning it in from a decentral, hybrid, central to a full central, where control could be a part of the equation. And that's the big picture. But there's more to this story as we drill down.
Well, let me try to make it understandable or processable, yeah, consumable for the average person here. It's like, how would it apply to me? If I'm somebody that is a big believer in crypto, you know, Bitcoin or whatever it is, and ultimately the goal is to say we have an independent cryptocurrency where the government doesn't have oversight or involvement. Well, obviously, if you're the IRS or any government entity, you're thinking, well, okay, hold on a second. You know, these government gangsters are thinking, hold on a second, where's my cut? You know, they want their cut. When you work and get paid, they want their cut. When you buy something, they want your cut. When you own something, they want their cut. So they're always looking for a way to get their cut. So isn't that what we should be trying to avoid here? Shouldn't we be trying to avoid the government getting their cut in this process? Or is that really what this is all about? Is that the general fight here? Is that me and you can say, hey, I really like that. I really like that car that you have. And you say, oh, well, you know what? I'm actually trying to sell it. And I say, well, okay, how about 2 Bitcoin? You say, oh, okay, great. I give you 2 Bitcoin. You give me the car. The deal is done. Well, the government's going to say, hey, hold up. Where's my cut? You guys owe me some money here. Is that the general way to put this fight?
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. I mean, that is a good way of explaining it, but it goes deeper than that. One of the things the Genius Act was incorporated to do was not just to stabilize the understanding and the regulation of stablecoins, which is basically a token that would back something, okay? You have what they call stablecoin PACs, P-A-X. Those are gold-backed stablecoins. You have stablecoins that are backed by treasuries or deposits, cash on deposit at various financial institutions or any lender, now that you're going to be required to be a bank to hold third-party. So third-party assets or custodial accounts. The question you have here is, how does the government get its cut? Well, the Genius Act was built and written in such a way to be able to stabilize again what we are going into the next. I mean, look, this is bigger than electricity. I've said this 3-4 years ago. I've heard people actually use this again in my words. It is a revolutionary way of which to transact. And for 5,000 years, whether you use seashells or gold or silver or land, or in the case of how we bought the Manhattan Island from the Manhattan Indians, you know, it was basically a bunch of beads from the locals. We are now going into something that is not physical. We are transitioning from the paper, the hard assets, to a algorithm. Now, the short-term value of this bill and this legislation of Genius Act, let's just talk about the Genius Act first, is to bring together the understanding that people will buy the stablecoin, they will buy these, they'll be issued by financial institutions that have the license and have the right of which by the federal government's own policies and regulations to issue these stablecoins. We can buy them. You buy them. I can buy them. Those then will be shored up. The money that you use to buy those will shore up the short-term treasury market. They'll be buying treasuries as a backstop to the stable coins. That would help bring interest rates down with without artificially asking or trying to get the Fed to lower rates, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent. Then all of a sudden, the rates come down. We now can ultimately see a lower deficit spending because we're not paying as much interest every day, every week, every month, what have you, on the debt, especially the short-term debt. Long-term debt is still a problematic, but at least short-term we can get a handle on. And the crypto industry will be huge, and it'll bring GDP. I'm not sure the numbers yet. I'm actually working on that to see what the impact's going to be of this bill. But the bottom line is, had President Trump not won this term, let me tell you how bad it was going to get. Who are the bad actors? I'm going to give it to you straight. I'm going to probably ruffle some feathers, but I don't really care. So if you look close at Ripple, okay, and you do your homework, go online, look at Ripple CBDC, Amazon CBDC. You look at BIS CBDC, Citibank. You look at all of these different companies, and we've got white papers on all of them that they produced, MasterCard, Visa. They all were back in the mode and in thinking, we're going to backstop the central bank digital currency. President Trump will not be coming back as a second term. This is what their thought pattern was. It was just horrible, horrible things that they did. And President Trump knew this was going on. And kudos to him for staying the course. That shows the integrity and character of the man. And he knew he had to get into the office. This was one of his primary goals outside the big, beautiful bill, which obviously helped on the taxes and small businesses. But there were bad actors that were formulating a plan. And this is not conjecture or opinion. This is fact. And I brought this to the attention of Congress. A number of different senators got on board with the House members. And we did our homework. And we determined that this was being done and built in around Congress's own authority. And what happened then was we knew at some point that this was going to become the law of the land had Kamala won. I never thought she could win. But in the event she did, this was bad because there was an interview in February of this year where the CEO of Ripple actually was talking about this with some of his colleagues and other people within the industry, where somebody among the group had basically said clearly, had Kamala won, the platform, it's called FedNow, was the gateway to insert a CBDC, which, mind you, was already built. The Federal Reserve had already built this thing and tied it directly into the BIS. Members of the House actually toured and went to the BIS last year, and we confirmed all this about a year ago and told me personally. And they said that the Federal Reserve thought that they had the authority. Even Powell said in open testimony a number of years ago, they could launch a commercial CBDC, but not a retail. And they're right. But think about this. There's like 90% of small businesses have commercial accounts. So if you go commercial, well, okay, now you got 90% of the country. And then they were going to, if Kamala won, they were going to backstop. They gave her $11 million. One of the founders of Ripple or co-founder, somebody within the Ripple organization or close to it. I want to make sure I'm very clear about this and don't overstep it. But somebody close, because it was an interview that was actually published online that we discovered, had donated $11 million to Kamala's campaign in the anticipation she would win. And then they could get this deal done. And that's why XRP is doing so well. They ultimately want centralized systems. It monopolizes financial policies. The problem is that's communism. In the words of Congressman Warren Davidson of Ohio, just today he said a CBDC is nothing but pure communism. It's programmable money that limits the owner, and not even the owner. You're just a person who might have it. The real owner is the federal government or any kind of a third party custodial holder. So we had to get this done because the rest of the world wants to go centralized. That would have hurt us in the long run. This is going to help in so many ways. One, it's going to make our short-term debt, our treasuries, more attractive, which could very easily bring down interest rates. Second, it's going to help bring down the deficit spending, and it beats the European markets to what they're already going to be doing, which is inevitability. They're planning on launching a CBDC this October. So people may not realize it in the front end. Okay, I've always said, like Warren Buffett, I like to kind of use some of his own words because he's very smart. You don't see everything the first day But that doesn't mean what you don't see today isn't already in process. And that's basically how he talks about long-term investing. So I'm kind of paraphrasing it. What today's actions with the clarity, this anti-CBDC bill and the Genius bill or Genius Act, all of them getting done, was incredible because it was bipartisan support. Once the Democrats realized, hey, you're not immune to this centralized system. You don't have a get out of jail card free, people. They could turn on you as easily as they turn on anybody. Anybody in the power of the of an administration, the auto pen proves you can almost do anything once you're in that Oval Office. So Trump did two incredible things since he's taken office. One, he passed the BBB bill. Two, he got all three of these crypto acts done. Now, there was obviously some changes to some of the wording that would better protect what this whole thing was about. And I like to think that a lot of people understood we needed that fundamental changing of some of the language to kind of tighten it up a little bit. That's what committees are for. That's what the two houses or the two chambers of commerce or Congress are for. It's like the power of people, right? The more people you have in a room, the usually the generalization is that the ideas will flow better. They will have better recognition for the understanding of the opinions of the people in the room. Then that's what happened. We literally saw something that could have gone the other way quickly, but because they took the time to really understand any areas that may have had some holes in them in a way that could be exploited, because sometimes you don't see the ramifications of the bills until what Nancy Pelosi once said, let's just pass the bill and then we'll figure out what's in it. Not this time. The Warren Davidson, Mike Johnson, Trent Kelly, and there's a number of other, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. All of these people took the time to make sure the language was right. And I know there's many others, and I don't want to ever say that those were the only ones, because even the Democrats jumped on this. So what I'm saying to you today is, today was a monumental day for the understanding that the United States is going to lead in digital asset transactionable tokens. And this is going to be one of the largest opportunities for investors in the crypto industry, in the AI industry, in any of the technology. Look at the chip market. This is going to make America better and greater than ever before. And it all stems by was one thing, and that is we acted first.
So just to keep it simple, because you probably just spoke a foreign language to most of the audience, does it keep us? I got 20 seconds, so just yes or no.
Okay.
For two questions. Does it keep us out of a communist central bank digital currency, and does it keep the crypto market free?
Yes. Yep. And you can thank both Tim Scott, Senator Hagerty from the Senate, as the authors, Warren Davidson, French Hill, and a number of others on the House side, and Mike Johnson, the Speaker.
Just got in my methylene blue, ultra methylene blue USP grade from thealexjonesstore.com. And I've heard all the rants and raves about this. I'm real interested to see how I'm going to feel. I'm going to do a third dropper and then some water right now. And I am going to see, yeah, that's plenty. Maybe that's a little bit more. I'm going to mix this up. And excited to see how this is going to work. So after I fully drink this, I will let everybody know the effects of hopefully of what is the unlimited power. What's going on, Xers? Jay Rocket here. Just giving y'all an update. It's been an hour past doing the one dropper of the Ultra Methylene Blue USP grade, the alexjonesstore.com. Currently at the gym right now, and it's hard to explain what I feel other than I do feel the mental clarity. I don't have any cloudy thoughts. My focus seems relaxed but very on point, and the energy kind of feels clean, no jittery things like that. I haven't really felt any tingling or anything. Maybe if I'll probably take a, you know, an extra dropper next time. This is on an empty stomach as well, so definitely feel just cool, calm, and collected, but very focused, very centralized,
is a very calm Zen feeling. So if you haven't gotten to try this stuff yet, y'all need to go to the alexjonesstore.com and get your methylene blue today.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.